This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
I just need y'all to bear with me for a minute while I talk about the pages of my job. Yeah, listen up. I remember when I got started, my intention was to win, but a lot of shit changed since then. Some old friends became enemies in the quest to victory, but I made a vow, never let this shit get to me, I let it pass, so I consider that part of my history, and I'm strong.
Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 37, you already know. This one's titled The Defiant Ones. We'll explain in a little while, but want to give a huge shout out to Mini Truckin' Where Are They Now? We've got a really awesome spotlight on Tim Chestnut. He's the guy behind the curtain for that kind of infamous page now on Facebook. So if you aren't in that group and you love mini trucks or automotive scene or full-size trucks, make sure you type in Mini Truckin' Where Are They Now? It's all one word. Mini Truckin', and then Where Are They Now is all separate. But episode 37, want to give a huge shout out to Sparkles Detail, Tim and Tanya. Make sure if you're at shows such as Scraping the Coast, Orange Beach Invasion, you name it, you're stopping by their booth and you're picking up some of those Croft Gate products. They are real deal Holyfield, as ODB myself likes to say. Also, grinder-tv.com. Make sure you hit that page and you essentially make a purchase, because when you do, it's going to Brian, and Brian travels across the entire nation, rather I should say the entire world, to get show coverage, but he kind of brings it to everyone now through YouTube. Make sure you're following his YouTube page, but you got to support the real, like we always say. Hit grinder-tv.com, make sure you order some gear. Also, Aftermath Designs, so make sure you're following Doug on Instagram. It's aftermath_designs, real deal Holyfield as well. So Dougie, he's crazy, he really is, but if you need artwork or you're a show promoter, you need trophies made, you name it, he can do it all. Hit him up, Aftermath Designs. So huge shout out to the homie, the big homie, Jason Redden. It's actually Big Juicy's big homie. They go way back. And on Instagram, make sure you check out at MT Mags for Sale. So it's Mini Truckin' for short. So MT Mags for Sale. And Jason does a fantastic thing. He essentially is the curator for many, many trucking magazines. He gets his hands on these and he sells them at a very reasonable price. He also has issue one. He's recently sold probably three or four of these, but he does have one left of Mini Truckin' issue one, the coveted. And he's going to do a pretty cool thing where there's a drawing. It ends on the 22nd of July. It's $20 via PayPal. There's 15 entries, and you have 15 chances to win Mini Truckin' issue number one. So make sure you hit MT Mags for Sale. And even if you're not looking to get in on that, you still want to follow him if you love this culture like we do. So the Defiant Ones. With this episode, we're going to talk really about something that to me, man, was fucking awesome. Very motivational. And if you've got HBO, you need to check out The Defiant Ones. If you don't have HBO, I think the HBO Go app, or you can just subscribe. Actually, I should say the HBO Now. So there's two different apps. HBO Go is if you're a cable subscriber. HBO Now, you can just go. Let's say you don't have, you cut the cord at home. You can sign up for HBO. And I typically think that it's like a month free they give you, and that's essentially to kind of get you roped in. But HBO, man, I'm going to tell you, over all the years, I've always had a subscription to HBO. Fantastic content. Love their shows. So many good ones out there, like with Westwood, things like that. But I know what you're thinking. You're like, man, this is Our Lifestyle, the podcast. What's ODB talking about? Well, you guys know I'm a huge music fan, huge hip-hop fan. Love the G-Funk. Love the West Side, West Coast music. And this series, it's a four-part deal. They played, I think tonight, the fourth part is airing. However, what they did, kind of to follow suit with what Netflix has been doing, is they launched all four parts at once via HBO, the app, to stream it. Or if you're just like old school and you're going to watch it through the TV, you know, it was one part each night, Monday, so on and so forth, whatever. But The Defiant Ones is essentially the story of, for the most part, it's Jimmy Iovine. If you don't know that name, if you're an Eminem fan, you've heard him reference Jimmy Iovine, and of course 50 Cent has as well in songs and things like that. But Jimmy Iovine has been around music a long time, and it kind of follows his story on how he got into the music business and really kind of worked with artists like Stevie Nicks, Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen. I mean, so many old school, awesome fucking artists. I'll just say it like that. Now, Dr. Dre and him synced up because you kind of fast forward through the 70s. He actually worked with John Lennon and really kind of got his start, and you'll see it. I don't want to give it all away. But, you fast forward, and in the early 90s, Dr. Dre, of course, there's the NWA breakup. Dr. Dre lands with Suge. Suge has a deal with, they kind of all sync up, and then, Interscope takes under, Death Row under their wing, and that was really kind of the infancy of Interscope Records. So the story goes on, and it tells you a lot about just the beginnings of Interscope. They had Nine Inch Nails, they had the crazy Marilyn Manson, they had No Doubt, they had the whole Death Row deal, then, of course, Tupac comes there, yeah, he ends up getting killed, but I'm telling you, like, I know in the last episode we talked a little bit about the Tupac biopic. Haven't seen it yet, unfortunately, and I'm not boycotting it. But when I watch this series, I mean, you go on Twitter and just type in The Defiant Ones. I mean, there's so much good press on this series. I mean, it really, there's various parts, man. I just got goosebumps. Love seeing Dre in the booth, and it kind of shows when he was making his last album, which was Compton, the soundtrack. And I think he really got motivated because, they were filming Straight Outta Compton, and then they kind of rapped on that, and he was riding that high of that awesome, fantastic movie they made. But I'm telling you, The Defiant Ones, it goes on to talk about Jimmy through the early stages, like I said, then with Dre, of course, Dre puts out, when he first went to Interscope and he started, when he first left Death Row, he put out a couple of flops. As many of you guys know, he had Aftermath, Presents, and it was that compilation, Been There, Done That, Got Guns, Got Straps, it was that deal. And that didn't really sell well. And then he put out The Firm, which you've heard him say, Firm Fiascos. That was Nas, AZ, awesome artist. Then you had Foxy Brown as well, and you had Nature. So, that was a flop. But long story short, kind of gets to the Eminem piece, right? Because he's also in that whole web of Interscope and Jimmy, and then, of course, Dre, and then there's Eminem. Talks about Kendrick Lamar towards the end. I mean, just, Snoop's in it. Talks about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because you guys know that NWA got voted in, and Kendrick Lamar voted them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, Eminem even calls Jimmy at one point the Great Gazoo, from Flintstones, and I thought that was fucking awesome, because Jimmy's like a smaller guy, and he almost resembles the Great Gazoo in many ways. But, I'm just making sure I got everything. Tom Petty is, you guys from Florida, my dad, Papa Smurf, always tells me he hails from Jacksonville, Florida, and, man, what an artist he is. I can put on his catalog and listen to so many fucking awesome tracks. I really, really love the music that Tom Petty's put out over the years. And then, hell, the one other thing I'll say is the DOC, like in Nothing But a G Thing, Nobody Can Do It Better, like this, that, this, and that. And, the DOC, for anybody that's really, kind of followed him, he basically was really an up-and-coming artist. He had a fantastic debut album. He got into an accident. I'll leave it at that for those that don't know. And he has had challenges for most of his life in terms of being able to speak and things like that. But it's cool to see him. He played a very small role in the NWA movie. But as you guys know, I mean, the DOC was really behind a lot of their hits and some of the things that he wrote, for even on Easy's first album, We Want Easy. I mean, he hasn't gotten all the credit that he deserves. But there's some really good interviews out there with DJ Vlad on YouTube if you get a chance to check it out. I know there's some people that don't like DJ Vlad, but I'm telling you, he does. He has access to really great artists, however he kind of spins that. But anyways, man, The Defiant Ones, I could not help but call this episode that, because I'm on such a high from just man, how fucking awesome that series is. So huge shout out to HBO, Jimmy Iovine, all those guys. Man, they do not stop. And I guess lastly, they do talk about Beats. So you'd learn about, hey, how did that company start, you know, so on and so forth. And then, of course, the embarrassing moment when they kind of leaked that it was coming, that the $3.2 billion deal was coming. And then that turned into a $3 billion deal because they weren't supposed to talk about it. And, you know, that the rumor was is that the deal may not even go through. And then, of course, it still did. But, of course, you lost $200 million. But, hey, you know, that's chump change to those guys. But, anyways, check it out, HBO Go or HBO Now if you want to subscribe. I'm not getting paid by HBO, but, damn, that series is awesome. Next, want to touch on the scene updates. So, we just came off of episode 36, and I will say tremendous feedback. I mean, literally, it was 2 weeks of us pumping that with Sean Mahaney. So huge shout out to Sean. I mean, he was a fantastic guest, great stories, kind of, you know, was like ask anything, you know, he answered a lot. And he really at the end, you heard him talk about the wheelchair endeavor. And arguably, like I said, that's the biggest endeavor of his career. So make sure you go out there and support Sean. He's got a couple of different pages out there. He's got, you know, the main one, the Sean Mahaney, which is Sean from SCW. And that's his main page. And then you have another one that you've seen us, if you follow us on Instagram, that we've tagged him in. And that is, well, he actually kind of tagged us and then, you know, to say, hey, don't forget to tag the page. But his wheelchair company, we didn't mention this on last episode, it's scw.seanco, scanco.custom.wheelchairs. So it is a little long, but you'll actually get a chance to see some of the inside deal on the company. And then you'll also see some of that, really the end result, you know, the end final product, you know, the custom touches, a little bit of the billet that you'll see here and there, and just some really, really, really cool things. So we shared a couple of those photos, and we'll continue to do that. He even has on there, it's not a wheelchair, but he talks about following his iconic build, and, you know, he talks, you know, the old Hilux. So that's pretty cool. So huge shout out to the homie Sean Mahaney, the legend. But really, on the last episode, I think we had mentioned for the new Truckin' magazine, which I think the latest one that I physically have in my hand is September 2017. Now, it was shot by I Hate Phil. We'll talk about more of that in a minute. And it features Little Shop Manufacturing 3500 Denali HD. So it's Aaron Cottrell's truck. I finally, for whatever reason, mine took an extra, I don't know, week or so. But when I got my hands on it, I was really, really stoked. It also has from Severed Australia. So you've got the pink taco, really sick feature. And it was done by the homie Toasty. So if you go on Instagram and type in Toasty, you'll see that he has a sick page down under. And Toasty's Real Deal Holyfield. Now, the truck is a 2000 Toyota Hilux. Jessica Powers, she is in New South Wales, Australia. She's repping ST. The thing is pink. It's got one of those shorter beds that you typically see on the trucks over there. Super, super sick crew cab, right-hand drive, billet, steering wheel, you name it. Super badass. Now, this issue, also make sure you cop it on newsstands. It also has Forbidden Fantasy, and I'm talking multiple pages, which is really rad. I know Jameel's gonna love that, but it's titled Wild on the River, Forbidden Fantasy Show and Shine 2017. And as you already know, we have had the sickest minis probably there all in one show. And it's been really a show that everybody's been talking about since it was put on earlier this year. But the cover truck is crew cad, and it's titled Always Follow the Blueprint. Really, really sick feature. And it kind of just highlights what Little Shop did. It shows some of the pre-production kind of photos, the drawings, if you will, in the computer. It also really has a badass photo in there of Aaron sitting or standing next to the original factory chassis when it was blown all the way apart down to literally just the frame on jack stands. And it also has next to it, looks like before powder coating, of course, it was the Little Shop when they had finished the chassis. And I think that was like just within a short period from SEMA, because I remember seeing it going, dude, how is this thing going to get there, let alone drive once it gets there? So super sick. That's Truckin'. Now, the new issue, I will talk more about this on episode 38, but it features a super, super sick excursion. I saw this truck in 2013 at Severed Southwest in Arizona, a one-day show put on by Severed Joe, who we had on before, and the excursion's sick. From what I understand, that's going to be on the cover, and we're talking interior, I mean, badass. So I cannot wait. We'll talk more about the homies' Instagram on the next episode. But the Street Trucks, the latest issue I have in my hand, is August. And if you go on Street Trucks' Instagram page, you'll see that they mentioned it's August 2017. It features Todd Williams' 61 Ford F-100. And it's shot by Luke, I'm probably going to butcher this, Munell. So it's at Luke M-U-N-N-E-L-L. That's who shot the truck. Really, really nice feature. Cover truck, super awesome color. Love a Street Truck's quality of the magazine. Lots of badass trucks in it. And then the one that I really like that I flipped through, and I haven't read all the features yet, but it was shot by Kevin Aguilar. And I forget if I mentioned this on the last episode, but it's the blood, sweat, and gears. And this essentially is a Chevy Love with kind of the smoothie wheels on it. Really, really, really badass truck. We posted it on our Instagram page, and we tagged Chaotic Customs out there in Texas. They actually said thanks for posting it. And it is an 82, or I think it's an 81. So he snagged the truck for like $1,500 and laid this thing out. Super, I mean, I'll call it a simple build. And I love this truck, man. I really think it's really kind of raising the bar in terms of what you can do with a small amount of cash, dude. So don't ever say that you can't have something bagged or something that you really like. Now, I will, on the next episode, which is going to be dropping, hopefully within a week of this episode, we're already putting that one together, but we're going to have Mike Miggity Mike the Mayor back on. Yes, he is still alive. He has been on vacation, and he's definitely deserved that. I will say that we're going to talk a little bit about his travels to the last couple shows that he's hit, and I know we're going to talk more about the show's schedule. What I will say is Summer Showdown just transpired, and we know a lot of guys that went to that show, and really we didn't get a chance to have the folks that run the show on. But Summer Showdown, I think this was the last year, from everything that I heard. You had the homie Josh, or aka Joshua Miller, from RA Florida. He went up there with Big Juicy, took Seedless, his S10. He did win Best of Show, so congrats to him. And he, along with the rest of his club mates in Florida, have done a fantastic job of promoting Downtime. So Downtime, this one's a little bit further out, but just know that it's Labor Day weekend. And it is, if you just go on Facebook and type in DWNTYME, and you'll see it'll pop up 2017 under it, then you'll see the information there. But as Mike has mentioned in the past, we're going to have them on here in the near future, and we'll talk a lot about the show and whatnot. We're definitely looking forward to that one. Now, the throwback, as we did with the last episode, is, you know, for the most part, it's going to be a throwback term, magazine, so on and so forth. You guys know I have plenty of magazines. I have too many. I just can't even get through these all sometimes. I want to post more and more, but there's just not enough time in the day. But I have in front of me, I'm holding Truckin' November 1990. And this had Bad Chevy on it. And it says Alloy Toy. So we will feature some awesome photos from this magazine. One of the things that I thought was really cool is when you flip to page 139 and 138, you have the West Coast Mini Truck Nationals. And when you see the Datsun and you see the scissor lift bed behind it, and you see, I mean, just these iconic, classic colors and paint jobs that are straight out of the 80s, basically, because this magazine was late 90s. So, you know, that 80s style, it really just kind of brings back the nostalgia. There's so many awesome ads in this magazine, including Stillin. And you look at the colors, and it's like I said, man, it's a blast from the past, which I think is kick-ass. Many of the pages are not color. So for those that have been reading Mini Truckin' for a long time, you'll recall that only a certain amount of pages were color because of the cost that was associated with printing in color. Now, you had the Drop Shop, or it was the original drop shop, I should say, Sport Truck Suspensions, and that was in Chino, California. Now, believe it or not, this ad is actually in color, which I can imagine how much it cost back in the day. But, you know, they were talking about a 4.6 drop on an 88 to 91 half ton was like $795. They were advertising headers, chrome or raw, for either $200 or $295. So really, really nostalgic there. Now, there's a Ford concept in here, which is a little scary when you look at it. There's actually two. There's a Street F-150, and there's a Beach Bronco. I'm telling you, OJ would be jealous of this Bronco. It's kind of funny, but you know, we'll post those photos as well. Now, you also had Truckin' Today, which was towards the front. It was an editorial, and it was by Hoyt Vanderberg. And they actually talked about the whole article. That piece was Boyd's by Kreger. And, it, you know, it talked about kind of the infancy there of really the billet wheel, alloy wheels, that type of deal. So it's pretty cool. Now, I just posted this week, you'll see on our Instagram and in the Airhead Nation Facebook group. That's now a public group, by the way. You'll see that there is one to show. And this was an 88 Mazda by owned by Mike Powell. And he was from Rockland, Cali, and Brian McCormick shot it. So scissor lift bed, all chrome underneath it. And, you know, on a recent episode, I mentioned you cannot forget the greats, man. A lot of people are like, hey, this is the greatest of all time. You know, they want to call LeBron the greatest of all time. And they're like, I'm thinking, are you going to just disrespect everyone that came before him? You just can't do it. So when you look at these trucks, man, like one to show, sure, you're going to look at the feature and say, well, you know, it can't be the greatest of all time because, you know, the factory seats and, you know, it wasn't a crazy interior, you know, this and that. But I'm telling you, when you look at for the time, it was super sick. I mean, lots of chrome, super clean motor you could literally eat off of. It looks like, I mean, a chrome leaf springs. I mean, this is before the back suspensions and stuff. Sick paint job. You know, it didn't have shaved door handles and you know, a welded up tailgate, but it had plenty of mods that would probably compete easily today on the show circuit. So that was pretty cool. And I will also flip to lots of neons in this magazine with the different ads. And it's so funny because I look at a lot of hip hop album covers, a lot of the new ones, they're all these same colors from the 80s. You know, Big Sean's album earlier this year, so many, and it's kind of funny. You guys heard me talk about this before. I laugh at all these rappers, the new rapper names, because some of them are just, like, horrendous. We just have to do a segment on that sometime. But, yeah, when you look at it, I mean, he's got the 88 to 98 on the cover, and, you know, it wasn't a crazy truck by today's standards. It had a sick motor, super clean. It was more like that sport truck era that we know the homie Big Juicy from down south really likes. Oh, and by the way, it did have Texas Heatwave coverage in it. So we'll share that once this episode comes out. And it had one color page from Texas Heatwave. And he had some old school clubs mentioned, Magical Minis. You had Ground Level Minis, Golf Truck Association. I mean, lots of different Klonic clubs. But a lot of it is in non-color, so it's black and white. You also had Sinbad was the mythical truck of the Nevada desert. So when you see this one, I mean, this is literally a blast from the past. It has tilt bed with a sick interior for the bed with a stereo setup. It has a topper and it also has the accordion boot. So that was pretty cool. So enough of that, man. That was November, the good old days, 1990. So pretty cool stuff. Best thing we can do, I know it's one thing talking about it, but when you see it, I think you'll kind of get some nice flashbacks from that. Next, I definitely want to say, from a music standpoint, there's been a lot of albums that have dropped recently. I love now that music comes out on Fridays, simply because, I mean, Friday is the start of the weekend for a lot of us. You know, if you get the cut out a little bit early, get that weekend started. But Jay-Z's 444 album dropped. And I mean, for a week, that's all I saw on Facebook and Twitter. It seemed like really the album, I think, is, you know, I can't say anything bad about it. It's not something that I'm going to like jam all the time and ride out to, you know, it's kind of a political type album in terms of, you know, a lot of innuendos about certain people and that type of thing. But if you haven't checked it out, it's definitely worth a listen. There's some good stuff on it. it was a title exclusive for a week, and I'm not big on those whole exclusives because I have Spotify and I have Apple Music, which Apple Music, by the way, you can get for 90 days free if you want to try it out, but it's on there. And the producer of a lot of the tracks, he hinted that the physical copy, which I don't think is out yet, it's going to have a bonus track, which is kind of weird because it has his daughter, Jay's daughter, on it that she's doing a freestyle. And I think the track is called Freestyle, but I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. But anyways, can't really knock it, man. You can't knock the hustle. At the end of the day, it went platinum in 1 week. Kendrick Lamar, I saw this week, his album Damn, that just was certified double platinum. So, you know, huge shout out to Kendrick Lamar, man. He is definitely the future in hip hop. But really, those are some of the updates that I wanted to share. Now, on this episode, we definitely are going to have Tim Chestnut, and we're working on getting Morgan Vieira for a Morgan Vieira Says. You know, Morgan is a fan favorite, to say it lightly, and we appreciate her always coming on. I mean, Vieira is a huge supporter in the whole mini truck scene. They've done tremendous things for a lot of people. They're on board with Slamfest, so you got to make sure that you support Vieira. If you've got air suspension, you don't want to have any compressors other than Vieira. Now, if you're running a belt driven, that's one thing. That's a small segment, but you know, you want to definitely have Vieira if you're running anything in the air suspension world. So you're probably wondering why ODB has not read out any recent reviews on iTunes, and it's because we haven't really received any. So really, I've said this before, we took this from Ronnie, the big homie at C10 Talk. Make sure you're listening to his podcast. Make sure you subscribe to ours as well as his. Bottom line, it helps us. It helps all of the guys that are trying to do podcasting. Kind of, it lands us up in a little bit different, you know, numbering system, and it helps other people find us, especially, you know, from an automotive standpoint. So definitely want to say, please, please, please go out there and rate us, review us, as Ronnie would say, the big homie. So thanks a lot there. So recap, episode 38 is coming very soon. 37, you're listening to the Defiant Ones. Lots of great things out there. Make sure you check out HBO. Check out that series that I mentioned. And we're going to be talking a lot more when Mike gets back from vacation. We're going to be talking about the upcoming show season for the summer. And we've got some good things in the works that we've been hustling on. So I definitely want to say enjoy the rest of the episode. We appreciate y'all. Peace.
It's been a long time coming.
Yo, 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 our lifestyle, the podcast, you already know, episode 37. And as you already know, this is the Defiant Ones. And we've got another segment. We've got our friend Morgan Vieira with Morgan Says. What's going down, Morgan?
Hey, ODB. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we always will lay out the red carpet for Morgan and the whole Vieira Corp. So definitely check out that Vieira hashtag and Vieira Corp. If you're repping Vieira, make sure you definitely lay down that hashtag, as Morgan would say. So definitely good stuff. What's new in your world? Just, you know, anything you wanted to mention before we get going here?
I'm just happy to be here. Happy to be part of the scene. Happy Friday. Looking forward to a great weekend.
Everything is good, right? Good weather out there,
yeah,
in Cali.
Yeah, it's the summer. Plans to go to the beach this weekend, you know, enjoy this lovely weather we're having.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the beach, man, that's where it's at. So, you know, really good stuff, Morgan. And as you heard there, we're calling this episode The Defiant Ones. We really want to pay homage to HBO's four-part series. You know, everyone heard me talk about that in the intro. Really, you're kind of, when I look at the scene, you're a defiant one, if you ask me. You're pushing the limits, you know, being a woman in the ever-growing kind of automotive industry, but also in the social media space. But what can you tell us a little bit about the SEMA Garage deal that you attended recently?
Yeah, definitely. It was an honor to be asked to come down there, and it was great because the assistant director, I think his name is Mike, sent me an invitation and personally gave me a tour around the SEMA Garage and also the SEMA offices. And basically, you got to see the works of, you know, Max Grundy and all of the names they have on the wall. And their theme is basically that great ideas come out of a garage. So it was really cool to kind of be in this inspiring place where all these amazing builds happen and concepts. And they welcomed me with open arms. They had a sign, you know, on the TV. It said, you know, SEMA Garage welcomes Morgan from Vire Corporation with a great welcome. Yeah, and then just seeing kind of the tools they're working with, and they have like a 3D modeling machine that you can kind of scan full build cars and conceptualize them within the computer, and being that I have a graphics background, that was really interesting to me. And the way they do testing and the facilities that they offer SEMA members is just exquisite. So
it's top notch. It's like experience. It's like if you're tied to the automotive industry and you've got a shop or you've got some sort of business, you have to become a member if you're not already, because like you said, they offer so many great things for business owners and, you know, trying to, you know, push the limits. But you know,
yeah.
You know, I kind of like what you said there. Great, you know, what they push is great ideas come out of a garage. I know, being a tech fan, there's, you know, that's really like where Apple started, even, you know, in a garage back in Cali, and, you know, with Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs and stuff. So it's kind of crazy what can come out of a garage, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing. And just being able to see the creativity, and they have a lot of artwork on the walls, and it's just very inspirational to feel like somebody, you know, amazing, inspirational people have walked through there and been a part of it. And just welcoming environment. Every person that I met was very friendly, outgoing, you know, creatively supportive. And they were nice enough to give me a tour of the actual SEMA office, which is next door, which has, you know, more of the business environment. But I got introduced to a bunch of people and let everyone know that, you know, I was going to be joining the SEMA Women's Business Network. And also, I'm going to be joining Young Executives, so I'm looking forward to attending those events as SEMA comes in Vegas and kind of networking and expand our knowledge within the automotive industry.
That's that. Hey, let us be one of the first to say, you know, keep doing what you're doing. We know that you're always pushing the limits in that whole social media space. And boy, what an asset you are to Vire and that whole corporation. So, I mean, keep doing your thing, girl.
Thank you. I appreciate the support and from everybody.
You got it. Now, another name that you mentioned, and I wanted to mention as well, Max Grundy. What blows me away, I know that, you know, he's done some different mashups with different, you know, folks in the scene. And, you know, he did for Napa their like 50th anniversary cover, which was a 67 Lincoln convertible. He did some cool artwork for that. And what the other thing that I thought was cool is like when I went to see him in the last 2 years and you walk around, it's amazing to see how many impressions his artwork really fills that whole space, you know. So you look up and I mean, to your point, like he has a tight relationship with them, and to me his artwork is second to none. If you go on Instagram, it's max_grundy for Grundy, or you can go to maxgrundy.com. he's got some really cool stuff out there.
Absolutely. I mean, he incorporates kind of that pop feeling into a more modern scene, and he involves a lot of really cool vehicles, and his builds are excellent. So I look forward to seeing what he brings for SEMA this year.
Yeah, he's definitely a master. So kind of switching gears, I know that you have a international trip that's planned very, very soon. I think it's early next year. So what can you tell us a little bit about that trip?
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to attending Tokyo Auto Salon for the first time in January of 2018. It should be an exciting experience just being able to kind of see how other parts of the world, you know, involve in our scene. And obviously Japan is very forward thinking and they're really about air suspension and stance. So I think it's definitely going to be up my alley.
Yeah, rock on. And I'll definitely have to let the, you know, I know that you're going to, as it gets closer, you'll kind of put the feelers out to all the different crews out there. But, you know, we've got Severtis Japan and they're really good guys, Makedo and them. If you haven't met them, we'll definitely have to get you synced up because, you know, they really rep hard. I know the Tokyo Auto Salon, is it more imports or do you think that there'll be also trucks? Like, what's your spin on that?
I haven't really been able to see too much coverage of it because it is kind of its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I hope that there's trucks. I'm not exactly sure how the whole scene works out there, but I know a lot of the vehicles from SEMA end up over there. And I shot a vehicle last year after SEMA that was hand engraved by Izawa for the cool racing Ace Alloy Wheel. So that was premiered at Tokyo Auto Salon after SEMA. So, and that was a Nissan GTR. I believe it took him 8 months to hand engrave it. It was a beautiful, beautiful build. So I think it's kind of that type of cars and also probably stuff I've never even seen or heard of.
Yeah.
And I know they have different sort of vehicles out there, so I'm not really sure what to expect, but I'm really excited to see what you know, there is out there.
For sure. And I think they had that car, if I remember, at SEMA this year, because I remember looking at it in disbelief. Like, am I looking at what I'm looking at? And yeah, I think you're right. It was a Nissan. I'm not a huge, you know, connoisseur of these vehicles, but I think it was that GTR. And man, it was mind-blowing. So yeah, I think that's the great thing about the automotive industry and what you recognize as well as Vayer is that you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into one thing. And it's great when I remember reading articles that like Courtney Hollowell back in the day would write and stuff. And it's like, hey, when you go to a show, like you might be a hot rod person, but if you go to a lowrider show, you can sometimes glean things that you wouldn't ever expect, like that you can even put into your own build. So we'll be very interested to see some of the photos that you post on Vayer Corp's Instagram page, you know, from that event.
Yeah. And also, you know, traveling internationally is going to be a whole other experience. And I've heard they don't speak very much English over there. So it'll just be a whole, you know, 10 more shows internationally. As of course, as well as nationally, I'm trying to get more to the East Coast shows for, you know, in the United States. But also being able to travel to other shows, like hopefully my goal is to go to the Cruise the East show in Australia. I don't think I'll be able to make it this year, but hopefully next year after Japan, you know, start with that, work my way around the globe.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely international traveler. So you got to get that passport updated.
Yeah.
What's funny is I'm not going as far as you, but we've always wanted to take a summer trip myself. And we're my wife and son, we're going to go to Niagara Falls in a couple weeks. But my son, this is funny, he wants to see Canada. He's 11 years old.
How
he
fun.
Thinks it's wide open spaces, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to be up in, you know, that particular area. I was like, man, maybe we can hang out with Drake and man, we can drop a verse, you know, and
yeah.
My wife's like, you're crazy, you know?
That's awesome.
So yeah, hit a Raptors game or something. But I mean, I know it's the summer, but you know, it's kind of cool sometimes going to different places, like you said, because there's a process, right? My wife had misplaced her passport and I think they're good for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, we're going to have to submit for another one. And as you know, there's a little process behind that. So I'm not an international traveler, so to speak, but it's always fun being able to go out to new places.
Definitely. I agree 100%.
Yeah, good stuff. So the first half of the year is gone, if you can believe that, everyone. And really what I wanted to kind of find out from you is, you know, what's anything in store that you have for the second part of the year, whether it be anything you wanted to share with us from Vayer or just Morgan in general?
Well, I will say that I'm going to be at SpoCon, which is next Saturday, and that's more of a tuner import show that's hosted at the Anaheim Convention Center. I've met the people that run the show at previous shows, and they're a really great group of people, and it's one of my favorite shows because they don't just incorporate cars, but they have youth groups, they have dance groups, and they have performances, so it's kind of like an entertainment thing. It's not just going to a car show, and actually, it starts at 4 p.m. and goes until 10, so it's almost like you're going to the club in a sense if you stay that late, and they have really good music. So I think if you're ever in Cali, you should definitely check out that show for the music sense, because they're on point with what we like.
Yes, that's very smart, because music really transcends so many different cultures and different hobbies, you know, such as, you know, the automotive world. Now, so that's cool. Appreciate the update there. Now, talking about the recent success, like this month, the Airhead Nation heard me talk about in the intro that Truckin' Magazine has the Forbidden Fantasy coverage, and it's really great coverage, and it really showcases all those rad mini trucks that Brian and the whole Forbidden Fantasy crew was able to bring together. I know that Vayer was a key sponsor, right? A title sponsor.
Yes.
What was anything you wanted to mention in terms of like the overall success? I know that like the Female Mini Truck Association was going hard in the paint there, but anything else you wanted to mention as it relates to FFF?
Well, I just appreciate everyone that was a part of our booth. Obviously, as a host sponsor, we were able to have multiple booth vehicles, so getting that kind of coordinated was interesting because I was the one in charge of it. So when they arrived, I was kind of like, you know, directing everyone, like, you go over there and you go over there. I'm not usually that sort of person to kind of direct people. So, and then it all kind of figured itself out. So I just appreciate everyone's, you know, patience with me, and thanks for coming out to the show. I mean, I had a blast, and the location is just beautiful, and it's definitely a great show to be at.
Yes. I, Had every intention to go last year, but I talked to a couple of my buddies and I was like, you know, we really can't miss it next year. So I'm just really looking forward to hitting the Avi and really just taking it all in, because it did look like an awesome event. We had Brian on, of course, earlier this year. He talked a lot about it. So, you know, for anyone out there that's, you know, on the cusp of potentially going next year, I should say on the fence, make sure you pencil it in. You can just search on Facebook, Forbidden Fantasy. It'll pop up. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably already following it, but you know, definitely check it out. You know, Morgan, it's great to have you on. We know that anytime we can reach out to you if we need something, and vice versa. If we can, what we'll do is we'll have you back on in the next couple of weeks, because we do, as we mentioned before, we want to have you on as a reoccurring guest. I know as it gets closer to SEMA, it's going to be a little hectic, so we understand that. But if and when Vyaire has any kind of new announcements with products and things like that, we'd love to have you and the rest of the team on, because you guys are so great at getting behind the scene and really kind of getting out there, getting your hands dirty, keeping customers, especially mini truckers, happy, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I would say to keep your eyes peeled for SEMA 2017. We're going to have a booth this year, guns blazing, so can't really say too many details other than I'm really looking for the show, forward to the show. Everyone needs to stop by the booth and see what we have in store for this year.
Boom. I love it. Now, one more shout out for Morgan. I definitely want to say, you have to follow her on Instagram, obviously, with Vyaire Corp. But Morgan is also always networking. And if you go on LinkedIn, if you don't have a profile out there, I always suggest to my friends, you know, make sure you create one, because it's really kind of your online resume. And if I remember correctly, Microsoft bought LinkedIn recently. So, you know, it's a secure, it's a good place, you know, to have your resume out there. But, you know, Morgan, you do a fantastic job of putting content even out there. You know, I'm looking now, 3 days ago, you know, it was Mopar Madness via the Dub Show Tour LA. And of course, you've got that Powered by Vyaire hashtag. So, you know, make sure you go out there and you follow Morgan. She's out there. So anything else you wanted to mention before we conclude?
I just appreciate being a reoccurring guest and everything you do for the scene. You guys are awesome. The mayor is killing it out there. And I look forward to seeing what the rest of the year happens.
Boom. Well, we appreciate you guys. And I just want to say, Airhead Nation, we got you. Yo, 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 yo. It's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, you already know. And we've got a guest that we're going to do a spotlight on for this episode, episode 37. So we got Tim Chestnut. Now, Tim, we're going to learn a lot about him. He started the Facebook group that many of you are already in and you already know. And if you're not, you need to get into it if you love this lifestyle. It's called Mini Trucking. Where are they now? So we're going to learn a little bit about what was the motivation and kind of some of the success stories behind it. But Tim, man, how's it going, bro?
Going good, man. How's it going with you?
Yeah, man, I tell you what, everything is good. And I got a chance to meet you, man, through social media, and it's been real cool. You know, we've been having some good conversation back and forth about the good old days, the heydays of mini trucking. And I know, you know, you're kind of connected now to a lot of the OGs in terms of, you know, having good conversations with them. But what I wanted to...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. What I wanted to kind of do is start off and just see if you can, you know, introduce yourself a little bit to the Airhead Nation. And then also, if you wanted to give us a little bit of background on how that Facebook group started, man.
Well, basically, I was just an everyday guy. I mean, I love working on trucks. I love working on anything custom. And I was in the mini trucks back in probably 92. My first car was a 64.5 Mustang, and I hated it. It broke down every week. And somewhere around 91, 92, I picked up a mini truck in my first mini truck in magazine, and I saw Pat Nichols Ballistic.
Wow.
And I don't know what it was about that truck. It hit me, and I was like, man, I want something like that. I've got to build it. And then 93, I got rid of the Mustang and bought an 87 Toyota long bed, and I was just hooked from that point on. And the car clubs around here were big in those days. And we had, like, Coastal Fantasies, Cape Fear Mini, and it was just the clubs to be in. And I got into a club in 94. It was Coastal Fantasies, and we had fun. And then from that point, I went to Cape Fear Minis, and it was the club to be in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved, you know, just doing different things. And everybody was like coming up with different things. And I was always just a broke guy that I did it, you know, my way. And I found a easier way to do it, cheaper way, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And like billet grills, I'd buy like the door guards, the chrome door guards.
Okay.
Cut it in little pieces and put it into the grill, so like a chrome grill from distance.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's, you know, it's funny. It, you know, we might smile and laugh about it, but that's really, you know, mini trucking, when you think about some of the origins of it, it was the teenage kids or, you know, guys that were in their 20s that didn't have a lot of money. And it was like, hey, how do we lower this truck? It's like, cut the springs, or how do we, you know, be different? And it was some of those off the wall ideas, man. So that's pretty cool.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so one of the things you mentioned there, a lot of the old clubs, I used to love when I would pick up, it was rare, you know, in middle school, I'd get my parents, hey, we'd go to the grocery store, and I've kind of mentioned this so the Airhead Nation knows, but, you know, we'd be at the local cash and carry, and I'd be over there, you know, thumbing through the magazines, and I'd be like, can you please buy this magazine? And it's probably like $2 or $3, $4. And they're like, no. But the few that I did get, it was cool looking at the club directories back then, because you mentioned, Tim, there were so many different names, dude. That was a cool thing that I remember about the 80s and 90s, all the different club names, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, you said it was, was it Caper Minis?
Cape Fear Minis.
Oh, Cape Fear. Got it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Cape Fear was you know, that was, they had a movie, I think, named that. And then I think they had clothing in the 90s, Cape Fear. And then the other one you said was Coastal Fantasies, right?
Right, yeah. Coastal Fantasies was just a small local club that never went, it never got really big. But Cape Fear Minis expanded out. There was, like, I think, three chapters at one point.
Gotcha. Well, I haven't really mentioned this a lot, but the first club I got into was Collapsed Altitude. And what was funny is, in Florida, it was a small club. It was just in Tampa. I think, you know, there were a couple guys, maybe Plant City. But one of the funny things was the logo, you know, it was, you know, Collapsed Altitude. So it was a C and an A. But when I look back at old photos, it looked like the LA Gear logo. It almost looked like an L and an A, which is kind of funny. But yeah, and then my buddy Chris Gaddy, he's a listener, so shout out to Chris Gaddy on Instagram. It's at Compressed. He is, you know, he goes back, his mini truck origins are even before mine, because, of course, he's a lot older than I am. Just kidding. But he was in Exotic Dreams, and when I was in middle school, I would see these trucks cruising around, and they had this really badass logo, because they had the local guy Alley Cat. Man, dude, I gotta send you some photos sometime, Tim. He does these tinted logos, you know, it's kind of a lost art, because with the vinyl guys doing what they do, but he would, you know, basically tint a window on the inside, and it was it's out of a window tint, and he would do these sick logos. Sure. And one of them, Exotic Dreams, as funny as it sounds, it really was a badass logo, and Crystal has that one hanging in the house there in his man cave. So I thought that was pretty cool, you know, some of the old school names.
Definitely.
So, you know, kind of getting back to, you know, you mentioned a little bit about, you know, your history. So give us a little bit of insight, right? So you got this Facebook group. Again, everyone, it's Mini Trucking, comma, Where Are They Now? What's the mindset, right? So, like, Facebook over the past 10 years has grown by leaps and bounds. Everybody's on it. I think I just heard a thing. A quarter of the world's population uses Facebook, like, once a month. So what's the mindset? Yeah. Like, how do you end up starting this page, man?
Man, it was crazy. Like, about five and a half years ago, mm-hmm. I was sitting at home one day, and I was just bored. And I'd been going through Facebook pages, and I was on one of the OG Coalition page and just different Facebook pages. And I was like, man, I see all these great trucks. But something just went off in my head. Like, what about the trucks that, you know, I used to see back in the day, like the mini trucking truck, you know, the mini trucking page mm-hmm. magazine truck. And so I was like, So I just got there one day and just, I made the group page and added, like, the people that were on my friends list that were members of the other pages, and it went on for, you know, 3-4 months. I had about 400 members of the page, and one day I was like, well, don't even know why I even thought about it, but I was like, that Raspberry Toyota that was on the cover of Mini Trucking back in 91, the one that got me started, what was it called? It was Ballistic. I've got to find that truck. I mean, uh-huh. Let me just, you know, obviously, you know, if somebody knows anything about it, there's like 400 members of the page at the time.
Okay.
And I typed it in and said, where was this truck? And within probably, I'd say, a few hours, the page was like, you know, request to join. And it was like 15 or 20. And I accepted them all, because back then I didn't go through the members and check it. I just hit accept all.
Yeah, it wasn't as much spam and shit. Yep.
Right. And all of a sudden, it said, Pat Nickel posted in Mini Trucking Where They Now. I'm like, who's this? All right. So I clicked on it, and it said, this is Ballistic. And he just went, you know, all details about the truck.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, holy shit, this is your truck, dude? And I was like, you know, it's, to me, it's my all-time favorite truck. It's the one that got me into mini trucking.
Sure.
Just the things about it, just to see the pictures of it. And within, I'd say within a week, the group page went from 400 members to about 1,000. And back then is when Facebook had just started the group thing. It was fairly new. And if you had under 500 members, you could post and comment. When I hit 501, I couldn't post on my own page. I could comment on everybody else's post, but I couldn't post my own.
That's insane by today's standards, right? Because like Facebook is pretty user-friendly now. But to think about that just 5 years ago is kind of insane.
And I'd almost given it up, but it was growing so fast because of the list. And it was like, man, I've got to keep going with this. So I just kept on. And when I hit 1,001 members, it started letting me make posts again.
Gotcha. It was like some sort of glitch.
Then, yeah. And it went on like that forever. I mean, I've maintained, 3,000-4,000 members for the longest time. And then all of a sudden one day, Fusion Illusion was one of the trucks that were posted a lot on the page. And somebody found it, and it transferred to 4 or 5 times to different owners. And then Metamorphosis, and I won't say the guy's name that owned it and had the issues with it, but he bought it and went on my page and made a big thing about it and was trying to, excel the page. And I was like, man, that's great, I appreciate it. And he was sending messages. I'm like, you should make me admin of the page. And I was like, well, page stays small. I don't, I like to regulate and make sure this is not negative. And I don't really know you, no disrespect.
Right.
And but it gained a few, probably about 1,000 members from that, because he found the truck and he thanked the page and said he found it because of the page. And it kept growing some and kept growing some. And there'd be spurts all throughout where people would like, dude, I just found my truck. I posted it on here 3 days ago, and some guy said he's got it. I'm going to look at it.
Yeah, and those are some of the success stories that you've had. Now, real quick, I wanted to mention, when I had Lonnie and Radar on, and we talked about LST before the show this year, they kind of mentioned the same thing now with Instagram, how their number, they're like, man, all of a sudden, we're starting to pass, 10,000. And then they get it, and the next thing they know, they're at 100,000, plus. So, I mean, it's got to be a good feeling for you to have created something that really has, it's ballooned into something that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I try my best to stay humble on all of it, because it's like, again, I'm for lack of better words, I'm just an everyday guy.
Yeah.
And, I had an idea that it's just taking off with leaps and bounds. And I try to respect everybody and keep a level head before I say or do anything. And the main thing on the page that I won't tolerate, that I've been, everybody on the page knows is well and good, is it becomes a negative post where people start cussing each other out, I'll delete the comments on the negativity, just a negative comment. And I'll kind of say something to one of the two that's kind of started it and say, hey, man, y'all need to dial back a little bit. I understand you're upset, but just dial it back, because it's going to ruin the integrity of the page.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody, and you're smart enough to know that, because once some of these pages get out of hand and it's this and that, it's just like everybody's like, oh, okay, I'm out of this. So I think, from me to you, you've done a good job from what I can see and kind of maintaining the peace, for lack of better terms. Now, I did want to mention, on episode 34, as you know, we had Jason Weiss on. And now Jason, I know you and I have chatted a little bit, but he, for the most part, has had a pretty good success story, because, his truck, not to kind of, go over it again, but shout out to Jason Weiss and Jamil as well in South Florida, because that truck, basically was built by their friend, Joe Baloney. And then essentially, you can't get much further in the U.S. from Florida to Washington State. Then he was able, it just still blows my mind that the truck, hey, where's this truck at? And someone goes, oh, that's around the corner from me over here, and I'm up in Washington State. And then it's, it's a 60-year-old dude owns it, living at the house there. But that one had to, when you kind of finally got confirmation of that one, that's one of many. But that's pretty cool, man, to be able to say, hey, you started a page and that's allowing people to find these iconic trucks.
Yeah, and the biggest part of it is because essentially a lot of the builders that were taking part back in the days, and even the ones that were in the mini trucking magazines, have added the page. And, they can say, oh, I built that truck, or so-and-so did the suspension, and everything. And it's like, it's become a community of people that they're aware of the trucks that are built, and they paid attention to the great ones if they didn't build the great one. And if they saw it sitting somewhere, they'd say, oh, well, that truck's over here in Idaho in a field somewhere.
Right.
And then it gets posted on the page, and someone's like, hey, man, I saw that truck 6 months ago and sitting 20 yards. Let me ride by. And it becomes a network where the page supersedes, anything else, because members of the page will take the extra step and help somebody try to locate that truck because they know it's important to somebody.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I wanted to mention, another thing I wanted to mention, I should say, is, I've been around the scene a long time. you know, a little less time than you have. You know, I, mid to late 90s is really when I got going. But, you know, we've seen, like, OG Coalition picked up a lot of steam. And, you know, not to say that it's fallen off, but, you know, I see that he's got, like, 9,000 followers on Instagram. You know, he does a good thing, right? And he continues to manage that. Then you had, you know, I had the gentleman on from the Lowrider page. He, I think, used to maybe help a little bit with OG Coalition, and now he has a successful Instagram, and it's amazing the photos and the collection, the treasure trove, if you will, that he has. But for me to, like, then look and say, wow, let's look at some of the successful Facebook pages that are tied to the mini truck scene, and to see mini truck and where are they now, it just, to me, it reinforces that there are still a lot of mini truckers out there, and some have to take breaks in life. You know, life gets in the way, kids, house, bills, that type of thing. But a lot of mini truckers, Tim, they come back to it and they're like, you know what? Whatever happened to? And your page really seems to be the mecca for those kind of conversations.
Yeah, and that's what I love about it, because it's like, you see so many people, and again, there's over 12,000 members of the page right now. And a lot of them, for the biggest part, are guys that in the 90s, 80s, 90s built trucks, and they loved it and showed it. And then they got married, they had kids, you know, they parked the truck, they sold the truck to pay bills, whatever needed to be done. And now they've established themselves, and the kids are, you know, growing up, and they're like, oh, well, you know, I kind of miss it. And there's a lot that, you know, look at the page and reminisce about the old vehicles, and there's a lot more that are actually going out and buying more trucks, start building again, from the standpoint of nostalgia, because they're like, man, I used to love that. I'd get up on, you know, Saturday mornings, I'd hop in the truck and I'd ride to the car wash, clean it, hit the shows, you know, do whatever. And they, just that standpoint of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd sit back and, yeah.
No, I was going to say, and I agree. And, like, I think a lot of us, we know a lot of the cool trends really started in California. And I wanted to kind of throw out there and shout out to Ernie Macias. You know, we had Ernie on, you know, El Jefe of No Regrets. And one of the cool things, one of the many cool things I'll say is this, is that, like, when he built High School Mini, you know, it was a quick truck, he built it, and it had a lot, you know, had a pager in it, and it had, I think, a pullout tape planner and stuff. And it kind of sparked, you know, a lot of guys going, oh, you know what, I'm going to build a static truck. I'm just going to roll something, this type of thing. But your page, on another hand, as you're talking, I'm thinking, it's almost kind of sparked a revolution of guys saying, you know what, I want to build, like, okay, I can't find this truck, right? Like Ballistic, we know it's gone from existence. Now someone goes, you know what, I want to build that truck. So, you know, we got a homie that's in Texas, and we had him on in the past, and he built a truck very similar to Ballistic. You know, it's an orange Toyota. It's body dropped. You know, it's a real cool truck. So I think, you know, the point that I'm making is that it almost, it's like with the BMX stuff. There's tons of BMX groups and pages. And with this, you've got a mini truck one that's like at the forefront or the center of, okay, can't find the truck, I'm going to build another cool truck to revive my memories, you know, and relive some of that shit.
Oh, yeah. And I think the biggest problem right now, and it's not a problem per se, it's just, I can't word it correctly, but a lot of people, and they've got to realize this, and they don't, because they find trucks that were iconic back in the 90s, and they buy it, they're going to save it. That's the biggest thing that I've heard on my page, you're going to save this truck.
Right.
And they buy the truck, they take it home, they start tearing it apart, and they're not recreating anything. And again, everybody knows Fester Adams.
Sure.
And, you know, the trucks, the things he does, you know, they look up to him, and it's a positive thing. And Fester's a really great guy. I talk to him a lot. And people just don't see what they're doing. And it's like they buy something, and they're going to fix it up, and, you know, they're going to save it. And then a week later, it's for sale again.
Yeah.
And that's like Asphalt Assassin, the Nissan, you know, the Nissan Hardbody that was on my page about 2-3 months ago. I swear to God, it changed hands 5 times in 1 week.
Yeah, and I do think the moral of the story is, I think we're on the same page here, is, like, for instance, we got Big John, you know, we nicknamed Big Juicy, and he's from South Florida, and if you go back and you listen, we had him on a couple times, and he built a truck that still, when you listen to the interview, I mean, it's 90s, it's in Florida, he had one of the first set of 20-inch wheels in the country, in the world, there's no doubt about it, it was one of the first, you know, he had his truck body dropped, and had bags and hydraulics on it and everything. But the point is this truck, believe it or not, it left South Florida, it kind of ended up in Tampa for a while, bounced around. And by today's standards, I mean, there's really nothing special about a truck, because you can go buy one and build one for X amount. But someone keeps bringing it up. They're like, oh, Big John, your truck's for sale. And he's like, look, I do not want that truck. You know, I don't want it. And it is a cool truck. I still look at it and I'm like, man, he did some things that really you don't really see. It had like the tailgate when you opened it, it was side swing. But it had like the jagged type puzzle type, you know, deal that or where it was cut. You know, it had a lot of cool things.
Right.
But sometimes you just have to know, right, Tim, when to walk away.
Right. And like I said, it's nothing against nobody on my page. You know, I love the page. I love the members. I love the output. And it's just, for lack of better words, it becomes a little bit of a one of those moments where you see people say, I just bought this truck today. I'm going to save it. And then a week later, you see them post it right back up. You know, I've got to let it go. You know, something's happened. I can't do it, you know. Or the truck's a piece of junk, the frame's cracked, you know, whatever. And it's like, I really wish you would sit there and remember the good times and just build what you love. I mean, if you go in, for me, I'd rather buy a stock truck and build it myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I love and I respect the hell out of Fester for what he does. I mean, he buys some of the baddest trucks on the planet. And he restores them back to the way they were when, let's just say, Derek Jarro built, you know, WWE.
Yep.
And it's going back to that standard. It's back the way Derek built it because it's a tribute to Derek, the way Derek built it.
Yep.
And the money and time and caliber it spends to make that back the way it was, it's just awesome. But people, you know, everyday people that, you know, they work, they make 20, 40,000 a year. You can't afford some of that things. I'm not saying Fester's a millionaire.
Right.
He's you know, he's got a knack and he's good at what he does.
Yeah. And Fester's
a great guy.
Exactly. And he's passionate about it. And it really is like a hobby. Cause, you know, even me,
right.
You know, it's like I come home from work and, you know, sometimes you're just like, you know, do I, you know, and I'm a hustler, man. I mean, I'm going 24 hours a day, but there's sometimes where I'm just like, man, I don't want to go out to the garage and work. I'm like, I'm just, but sometimes you just got to press through and that's really what it takes, you know? So, you know, it's definitely good conversation. And I think, you know, we could continue to talk about it. And I, you know, we probably need to have you back on in the future so that we can talk about some of these other cool topics, because I do think at the heart of mini trucking is a lot of us want to maintain and save trucks. And here's a good example.
Yeah.
The homie Roro, Brian Batson, we've had him on. He's an avid listener. He's in Mini Madness. You know, he's been around since Slamfest, you know, one. You know, we're getting ready to go on 26. And by the way, they were inducted in last year to the Mini Truck Hall of Fame for the Slamfest show. So,
right.
But he got an old truck from a guy named Scott Smith. When I was first getting in the scene, Scott's from Claremont, Florida, and he has a really, really cool truck. I'll send you photos of it, but you know, it's a tilt bed with a topper, all tweed, and like literally this truck sat in a garage 10, 12 years, maybe a little longer than that. And all it had was a couple little dings in it, really, really small, you know, and he had to get the truck running and stuff. But like you look at it now, Tim, total time capsule. You know, it makes total sense, and it was great that the truck could continue to live on. You know, instead of putting the new fuel cell in it, he actually took the old one because it's all pinstriped. He, you know, cleaned it all out and resealed it, you know, threw a new fuel pump in it and stuff. So, you know, he maintained it, you know, and he was able to stay within his abilities, right? But it's sometimes,
yeah.
You know, guys have to realize, and even me, like you can't take on too much where you blow a truck apart and it's like, then it's like that for a long time. Because I've been there and I've barely been able to get my head back above water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's about capabilities. I mean, like I said, Fester, he can do all ranges. He's got, it's what a lot of people miss. Fester's got friends that can do everything. I mean, he's got like James Cummins that does the painting for him. And James is a great painter. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, Fester's not in his garage every day working on everything. He's got friends that help him. And that's what mini trucking needs to come back to. I mean, it's like the thing that I kind of hit on a while back on my mini trucking page. It's like, man, I said, you know, what happened to the days of working 40 hours? You get off on Friday. You call up five of your friends to come show up at your house. And then, you know, the one guy that's good at stereo helps you get your stereo ready. The one guy that's good at, you know, doing, you know, electrical can, you know, do whatever. And, you know, a guy can do engine work and get your truck ready and running.
Yep.
And then in exchange, you're good at, you know, interior. You put a headrest in his truck or you fix the seat for him. And it's all about friendship. It's all about doing something with people. It's not about, you know, my truck's better than yours. It's like, hey, man, we're a group. We do things together.
Dude, well
and
said.
Just because I can do, yeah, I can do engines and you can do transmissions. Let's switch it up. You know, you need engine work, I need transmission work. Let's get it done.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
It seems like that's missing a lot today, because back when I was a kid, I learned by watching others do it. I didn't go out and, you know, pay somebody to fix my truck or, you know, lower my truck. I watched a guy lower my Toyota in 1993. I said, how do you do it? Show me. And, you know, torsion bars and blocks. I learned. A year later, another guy was like, hey, man, how do I lower my truck? I said, hey, man, I can do that for you. No problem. I watched a guy do it last year. I could, you know, and I stuck with it. I learned it.
Yep.
And there's too many people in this world today that are avid about automotive groups. They're good at what they do. If they could, let's just say, barter to change things out to say, hey, man, if you can do this for me, I can do that for you. Let's make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be hot rods, whether it be, you know, lifted trucks, stance cars, or God forbid, squatted trucks. But I mean, if they can do it, you know, just switch it out and make it happen.
That's it, man. I mean, it really is. And I think it goes back to, I would like to see more of that myself. And I would like to also contribute to that. Recently, I went over with the homie Vic. We went over to Chris Gaddy's house. I didn't really do much that day. Vic pretty much did it all. We were setting up he was putting a door popper on a truck. So because he's got an Isuzu, I think 93, took off the wing vents, you know, has the one piece window in it. And now he just wanted like that easy way to get into the truck. So he's kind of putting a, you know, old school latch deal in it. And, you know, it was just a great day. It wasn't an all day deal, but it was, you know, a few hours. We got to talk about trucks, hang out, catch up. And I do think that many truckers were very good at that. And I know, you know, a lot of us, including myself, I'll be honest, I don't get a chance to do that too often, you know? So, you know, I definitely appreciate kind of what you said there. Now, if I were to ask you as we transition here, Tim, as of this week, when I took a look, you had about 12.4 thousand members. So about 12,000, almost 500. You had about almost 100 new members in the group. Did you ever imagine that the group would grow to 10,000 plus members? And, you know, really, how does that make you feel, man?
Well, like I said, again, with the page, it's the best thing I can say with it is I'm honored and I'm humbled with it, because it's like people all the time are, you know, just jerking back and forth. And again, it's like I'm looking at the page and it's like, and it almost sounds like I'm saying like I shouldn't, I guess. I don't know. But like people like Sean Mahaney, I mean, Bob Hayes, you know, Ernie Macias, I mean, these guys are just icons in what it was. And to me, I'm, for lack of better words, a nobody. I'm just a guy that loves building cars, and I made a page for it. And I never imagined it'd grow to what it is. And like I said, I mean, when I asked about Ballistic, and I had 400 members on the page, and next thing I know, I'm sending Pat Nicola a friend request. He's accepting the friend request. And I was like, holy crap, you know, this dude was just awesome back in the days. And
oh, yeah.
He accepted my friend request. I'm like, holy shit, dude, I'm you know, God.
Yeah.
And it's grown so much. And like I said, and again, I'm sitting here looking at, if I look through my phone, I mean, I've got like phone numbers for like Todd Hendricks. I text Todd from time to time, and Alan Paradise, you know, Bob Hayes. Bob Hayes is awesome to talk to. If you ever want to just sit down and talk about mini trucks and the van scene back in the day, Bob is the guy.
For sure. He knows his stuff.
I love talking to Bob. Oh, yeah. I love talking to Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you get Bob going one day, ask him about Reza.
Yes.
If you go with Reza, he'll tell you all about it, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. He definitely knows his history, and I'm glad I can say that I met him. Now, when, you know, the Facebook group, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, has really led to like numerous fines, you know, as it relates to trucks that were in so many cases seemingly forgotten, Tim. But Jason Weiss's story was like a prime example of all the stars aligning. You know, can you give us,
right,
you know, even if there's only one other one that you can think of, or I know there's numerous ones, but I guess I'll pose it like this. Which other besides Jason sticks out in your head where someone has been able to connect to a truck that really was earth-shattering for them?
There's a more than one I can name, and it's like, it's hard to...
Yeah, to pinpoint it. Yeah, no, I got you. Well, one thing I'll say too, really quick, is that oftentimes, I know a lot of guys, like they tend to get, they're like, oh my gosh, this one again. But I can see where there's a lot of guys, they're kind of reserved too, because they know that there's some rookies, right, that come in there like, oh, hey, what about this truck? And I'm thinking, man, we just talked about this one like 3 weeks ago. Where are you been? But people do keep right. It kind of kosher, and I can appreciate that, you know?
Yeah, and like I said, with that is a lot of the problem is, and the older members don't, I guess, understand it in a word. They catch on fast once, you know, but people are sending requests every day to join the page. And you've got a guy that joined the page yesterday. He wants to know where Rat with Envy is. And it's like, well, we talk about it like on a monthly basis. And I mean, now there's a thing with the Facebook page with all of them. You can go to the mini truck and where they now and go to the search icon, and you can type in keywords like Rat with Envy or Last Look.
Yes.
And it tells you every post that was made regarding those vehicles. And it's like, I want to make a pinned post and put it on the page and try to, but it's hard really getting the words to try to fit it right and make people understand, because a lot of people, you know, they join the page and say, oh, you know, back when I was a kid, this truck was the best one to, you know, on the field to me, and this is the one I want to see. And they just automatically where is this truck?
Yeah, for sure. And maybe I could help you out with that, because I love putting together documents, but we could almost put together like a, what we call is an FAQ, right? Frequently asked questions. And we could almost pin it right in there. You know, we wouldn't go into too much detail, but really kind of what you need is, you know, that may help is for someone to remind people that, hey, you can click on the left and you can search the group. And then, oh, by the way, you almost have like a top 10 questions. Like, hey, so where is, for instance, crew cut? You know, I just had Sean on, as you know. And it was like, yes, it's currently at, you know, Gas Monkey Garage. Every time I post it on Instagram, it's like, oh, where's that truck? And somebody comes in there, oh, it's at Gas Monkey. Oh, it's going to get fucked up. You know, it's okay, come on, people. You know, it's the same conversation every day. But the good thing is, again, you're giving people an outlet, and I think that's cool. But
And like I said, I love it. I eat it up.
Exactly. Now, as we kind of wind down here, I wanted to kind of ask you if you had one good mini trucking lifestyle story to share with us. I mean, anything that sticks out, or, you know, it doesn't have to be specific to a truck, but is there anything that just really brings you back besides what you've talked about? You know, just a good news story, man, for mini trucking.
Well, back in the days, I mean, this one is kind of my favorite one, and I talk about it all the time. And a guy named Kyle Bennett is on my Facebook page. He's not in a mini truck. He had a 240 Nissan SX.
Okay.
And it was lowered, but he loved to show it. And we go to car shows around the area, and I was in a pretty elite club back then. It was like 10 members total for after hours. And Kyle is a prankster. He always does things to just get someone to laugh. And we're at this car show. I think it was a Yam Fest or something in Tabor City. It was some top 50 show, and we were just all hanging out having a blast. It was classic cars, a few mini trucks, and just, you know, this and that. And all of a sudden, Kyle says, shit, I'll be right back.
Okay.
He walks back, sits down in the chair, and starts smiling. I was like, dude, what did you do? He's like, wait for it. All of a sudden, the announcer goes to the microphone. He says, can I have everybody's attention, please? Can I have everybody's attention? I need somebody to come to the stage. Heywood, you do me. Please come to the stage. Heywood, you do me. And all of a sudden, you hear him say, shit. He throws the mic down. It's like, and Cosliver's just laughing his ass off, because he's like, I'm looking for my buddy, Mr. You do me. His first name's Heywood. Can you please page him to the front?
Yeah, it's like some Bart Simpson stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It was, dude, we were in tears laughing.
Yeah, that's the, you know, it just, it's kind of the, a little bit of innocence, man. You know, just bringing it back to the good old days, dude. I remember going to school, and everybody had the Bart Simpson shirt on, you know, eat my shorts. And I saw something the other day, and it was a brand new shirt that had the same thing. And I'm like, man, 30 years later, literally, I remember 87, 88, 89-ish, whatever year Simpson started. But, I mean, that just was the stuff, and it still is. So good stuff there, man. Now, I know we've talked a little bit, and I know you're going out to SEMA this year. I know you're looking forward to that. What do you think is going to be something that you're looking forward to the most with SEMA this year?
Honestly, and again, this is just my thing, sitting down with like Bob Hayes and Shannon Vanderoe, just kind of hang out and shooting the shit. Because, you know, Bob Hayes does the Mini Trucking Hall of Fame every year at SEMA. And just to sit down with these guys and just talk and laugh, talk about stories, just to me, listen to them talk.
Yep. And like you were kind of saying, it really brings you back, because a lot of those guys, like, they lived that, man, for a long time.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, again, me, and I say it more than once, I'm just a guy that loved mini trucks. I was never, you know, I was never in a magazine. I was never famous from any standpoint. And just to, you know, hear these guys talk about it and to give me the respect of, you know, laughing and joking with me, it's awesome. And, you know, there's members on the page that, you know, to me are very famous, like celebrity status, like Jimmy Shine. I mean, you know Jimmy Shine.
Oh, yeah.
He's on the mini trucking page. He's on there.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, there's members of George Barris's shop. We talked about the little devil, the Porsche James Dean had.
Yep.
And there's, you know, employees from the shop have said, hey, man, I know where that car is, but we can't talk about it because George Barris will fire us if we do.
Wow.
Things like that. And it's like, just a thought about it. I made this little page like 5 years ago, and it's grown to something. And it,
yeah, it's cool.
I can't put it in words how I feel. Yeah, and it's like, I love it. And I love the members of the page. I love every member of the page because they're so great. You know, you can get humor, you can get laughter, and there's going to be times where people are going to, like, have issues.
Right, or piss someone off or whatever.
99, yeah. Yeah, I love the respect that 99% of them have. They'll either walk away from it, or they'll, you know, they'll message me and say, hey, man, this dude's really getting on my nerve. And I'll step in and, you know, then we had a couple comments and say, okay, page is all clean, man. Y'all just take it easy from here on in. And they know, okay, well, that's cool. You know, we're straight.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know, it's funny because Mike, the mayor, and I, we talk about sports a lot. And, you know, I just watched the finals and, you know, you got LeBron versus the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, at the end of the day, like a lot of people, sports fans, they love to get in each other's face and be like, oh, your team sucks. Oh, your team sucks. But listen, at the end of the day, LeBron has a rumored $500 million deal with Nike, lifetime deal, and this and that. And it's like, yeah, does he want to lose? No. We know he doesn't want to lose. Is he 3-5 in the finals? Yeah, he is. But, dude, this guy's got more money than so many people. And it's like, yeah, they want to compete. But, like, at the end of the day, they go home, they take a shower like we do, they go to sleep. They wake up the next day, they hustle, they do their thing. And some people have a lot of skills, you know. But I think the point that I'm going at there is, and it kind of got off track, but when you think of two players that really compete, they're at each other's neck, especially in hockey, fighting, everything. End of the game, they slap hands. And that's what it is. Sometimes you need like a referee, right, which is the admin, to kind of bust a couple people up and say, hey, listen, guys, let's just, you know, let's keep it, you know, let's not be internet gangsters here. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And like I said, the thing that probably a lot of people have never even thought about, that don't even know, you know how many admins are on Mini Truck and where are they now?
No. One, right? You?
Two.
Two. Okay. You doubled it up.
Yeah. That's, and like I said, I mean, that's been the biggest thing, because like you've got these pages that they just grow so fast and people just add admins to help out, and everybody's got different personalities, and it just, it kind of conflicts just different things. And Jason Williams is the only other admin I have. He lives close to me in North Carolina, and he's a great friend. I've talked to him a time or two, and I talk to him on the phone quite a bit. But, you know, he watches the page just as much as I do. And before him was a guy named, I can't remember his last name now, it's killing me, Chris. But he left Facebook a few years ago for personal reasons, but he was a great guy. But I've never had it like a big following of, you know, admins or moderators, because it just seems like it kills the strength of the page.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's one of those things where it kind of depends. Some of these pages grow to a lot of people and they need the help. But yeah, I mean, if you can kind of maintain what you started, to me, that's the best way, man. Because, I mean, you kind of, you know, you keep your eye, you keep your thumb on the pulse, if you will. And then you kind of know that, hey, it's not going to get too crazy. And, you know, you got a buddy that helps you. So if there's some days where you can't get on, you know, the internet, whatever. So, but yeah, good stuff. Well, Tim, it's been a pleasure. Really kind of with this, what we call OLP Spotlight, and really on you, but then also what you've created. So I just wanted to kind of give you a moment and see, hey, was there anything else you wanted to share with the Airhead Nation before we kind of conclude and wrap it up here, man?
No, that's pretty much it. Like I said, I love the page. I love the members of the page. And I mean, yeah, I love seeing new creations. I love seeing the out-of-the-box trucks that come up on the page and just the different ideas people have. And it just, I love watching the page grow as it does, and the members are awesome.
That's great, dude. Well, it's great, man, that I can, you know, call you a friend. You know, I haven't known you too long, and I think we definitely get along. We've got the same hobby, mini trucking, really at the core of what we enjoy doing. It's our hobby. And what we'd like to say is, you know, thanks for allowing us. Oftentimes we'll reach out to someone that is an owner of a group, and we'll say, hey, do you mind if we, you know, we did that with the bag board. You know, they're almost, I think, 50,000 strong. And, oh, hey, no problem. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, we get on here and we say, hey, listen, Airhead Nation, support the bagged board. Support Mini Truck and Where Are They Now? Because we may not be able to give each other much, but what we can do is you can give us a shout out or allow us to go in there and promote something that we're doing to help the scene, something that we're passionate about. Just like on here, we're going to give you the opportunity to come on. And I know some of you out there are saying, okay, well, I'm an automotive guy. You know, I'm not into mini trucking. You know, why do I want to be a part of the page? Well, we kind of summed it up. There's a lot of cool trucks in there. If you appreciate the automotive scene and the culture, you're going to see some badass trucks in there. Not all mini trucks. Some of them are full sizes. I see stuff in there all the time that I'm like, wow, that's where that truck's been. So, you know, rest assured, we're going to continue to support you. Thank you for your commitment to allow us to kind of go in there and post things when we want. So appreciate the support there, Tim. But hey, listen, dude, let's have you back on in the near future and we'll catch up some more. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Cool, bro. Well, thanks for your time, man. I just want to say, Airhead Nation, we at ya. ODB out. Yo, so it's ODB. You made made it through episode 37. Of course, he had Morgan Vier with Morgan Says, and of course, Tim Chestnut, Mini Truckin', Where Are They Now? Huge shout out to Sparkles Detail. Make sure you go to sparklesdetail.com. Order your Croftgate product. Also, check them out at various shows around the nation. Grinder-TV.com. Order these DVDs, shirts, hat, decals, stickers, you name it. Tell Brian we sent you. Last but not least, Aftermath Designs. Make sure you check them out on Instagram. It's aftermath_designs. Also, huge shout out everyone out there that continues listening. We appreciate y'all. We got ya. Peace.
I'm cooling in LA, the place where stars are born. And it ain't never cold outside because the rain will never storm. And the stars ain't only in the sky because the stars lay on the floor. And I got the city on lock if you wanna explore. And baby, I'll be cooling in LA. Pull up to the Roscoe's, only got here cause niggas from here. Know you gotta swerve around the potholes, eating chickens with these chickens politicking. We gon' get a new team or not, they up and down like Impala switches. All these girls got extensions, even with the long hair. Everybody tripping, we mix a rock with Patron here. Don't walk around alone here, everybody from a gang. Niggas ask you where you from, that mean you gotta run that chain. Smoking on that purple rain, we only smoke a certain strain. Soon as you cough twice, nigga, welcome to the circle, man. Catch me off a rodeo, Alan Meter, Figaro. Whoop these rappers' ass, they all bums, niggas skid row. And I ain't dissing homeless people, I be down there feeding niggas. 100 days, 100 nights, we killing for no reason, nigga. La 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 la. Look at me and my Impala. In LA, the place where stars are born. And it ain't never cold outside because the rain will never storm. And the stars ain't only in the sky because the stars lay on the floor. And I got the city on lock if you wanna explore. And baby, I'll be coolin' in LA. La 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 la. Baby, when you coming to LA? La 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 la.
I'm from that big blue wagon. Tiptoe tagging, mustard and mayonnaise with Dana's on the wagon. Brown paper bagging, baby mama nagging. You either skinny jeans, Gucci'd out or straight sagging. Pleasure and agony, black James Cagney. The wood is the wood, but the hood is like a cavity. So much tragedy, rarely see clarity. I'm like an air to be, charity, sincerely. Los Angeles, scandalous, handless how. We the ones you get your swag from, write that down. Home of the green leaf, watch out now. High school lesson, y'all can drop out now. California highway, California my way. I do it that way, then roll a fat J. La 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 la. Look at me in my Cadillac car.
In LA, the place where stars are born. And it ain't never cold outside because the rain will never storm. And the stars ain't only in the sky because the stars lay on the floor. And I got the city on lock if you wanna explore. And baby, I'll be coolin' in LA. La 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 la. Baby, when you coming to LA? La 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 la.
I got LA poppin', cars be hoppin'. No recession, these hoes they keep shopping. Sunset dropping, chicken heads flocking. No recess, my flows, there's no stopping. DeLorean rolling, pockets stay swollen. Drop down to 10, East Los is where I'm going. Cholo swagger, que pasa, what's up? I'm rocking it in LA. LA native, LA raider. LA Rams, motherfuck them traitors. LA Clippers, LA Lakers, tripping off Kobe, you the motherfucking greatest. LA Dodgers, finger to the Padres. East Los niggas saying chinga to madre.
La 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 la. Look at me in my fancy car. In LA, the place where stars are born. And it ain't never cold outside because the rain will never storm. And the stars ain't only in the sky because the stars lay on the floor. And I got the city on lock if you wanna explore. And baby, I'll be coolin' it.
They come, they come, they come, they come. time to black out, time to spit this crack out. Niggas been fiending for this shit, aftermath of crack house. The way I spit, niggas will think I poured the Mac out. Said the way I spit, niggas will think I blew J-Lo back out. Still Compton, nigga, fuck y'all thought I went on vacation. Same nigga that used to break in houses and steal PlayStations. I hate waiting, told Trey to put out Detox, or I'ma do it. This is that, nigga, the chronic mixed with embalming fluid. Bring your chin here, blood, so I can put this llama to it. Disrespectful nigga, see this window, I send your mama through it. Do it for the coast, so we can toast to it. Who showed you how to pie rules, the essays and all the lows do it? Similar to how the vice lords and folks do it. You remember Bum J out west, I'm the closest to it. Put on for my city, bitch, cause I'm supposed to do it. Straight out of Compton, I'm the fucking movie poster to it, nigga. Mitchie, we out, blood.
Whoa. Get in.